The Drug History Podcast, Season 1, Episode 3, Drugs and Ancient China. In this episode, we get a quick overview of drugs in the context of Chinese society and culture. Because Chinese history stretches over many millennia, it would not be possible to do justice to the whole subject in one episode. We might therefore run a whole series on drugs in the context of Chinese medicine in future. If you want to have a look at the sources used for this episode, please go to our Patreon page, where a PDF full text version of this podcast is available for download. Let's start off with an overview of the significance of Chinese medicine. It is said that until the time of the European Renaissance, between the 14th and 16th century AD, the medicine of Asia was the world's most advanced. The main branches, Chinese, Indian, Arabic, and Persian, gave rise to a large share of the medical learning that formed the foundation of modern European medicine. Chinese medical concepts had a profound influence on its near and far neighbors, Korea, Japan, Southeast Asia, and Persia, thereby penetrating also into the Arab world. Reciprocal influences occurred also between China and India. China has therefore made significant contributions to the world growth of the medical sciences in the fields of pharmacology, physiology, such as endocrinology, clinical medicine, public health, medical colleges, including medical education and examination systems, the registration of physicians, acupuncture, moxibustion, and many others. As with many other cultures, Chinese medical activities probably began long before there were written languages or records. Traditional Chinese medicine, normally abbreviated as TCM, refers to a wide range of philosophical frameworks, modalities, and treatment protocols, many of which have morphed and modernized over the last 2,000 years or more to adapt to the standards and thinking of the time. Although very different today, acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, moxibustion, massage, bleeding, and cupping have ancient foundations rooted in classical Chinese medical history. It is said that TCM is not a folk medicine, but rather a complete medical system, using the perceived laws of nature as rules for understanding disharmony and disease. In this way, it is somewhat different from the standard current Western model of medicine that looks at medicine from physiological, pharmacological, and psychological perspectives without reference to forces in the environment. Much of the philosophy of traditional Chinese medicine derived from the same philosophical basis that Taoist and Buddhist philosophies are based on. It therefore reflects the classical Chinese belief that the life and activity of individual human beings have an intimate relationship with the environment at all scales. This may be why TCM also inherited many of the principles inherent to Taoism or Taoism. More specifically, it is believed that the origin of Chinese medicine emerged in the shamanistic era of the Shang Dynasty period, between 1766 and 1122 BC. Back then, people would consult shamans on matters related to health and spirituality, which were seen as intertwined. Traditional Chinese medicine theory emerged at a time after this, when philosophy and science began to overlap, around the time of the warring states in the Zhou Dynasty period between 475 and 221 BC. This period would mark the beginning of intellectual reform and is referred to as Ishuzi Baijia, which loosely translates to various teachers, 100 schools. This period and the work of its revolutionary writers was the catalyst that began a shift of ideas that changed explanations of observable phenomenon away from shamanistic viewpoints to a systematic and comprehensive medical framework. Following the downfall of the Qin dynasty, Han scholars attempted to collect and organize medical texts from the Warring States period. Scholars examined and collated numerous texts to put together a coherent Chinese medical philosophy. Many of the foundations of current-day practices are rooted in these texts, most notably the Huangdi Neijing, commonly known as the Yellow Emperor's Inner Classic, which has served as the guiding principal text for Chinese medicine through time and still does today. The Huangdi Neijing consists of conversations between the Yellow Emperor and his physician, outlining core concepts and medical knowledge of Chinese medicine, including acupuncture and moxibustion, as the main tools for correcting imbalances and treating illness. In this podcast, we are predominantly concerned with the place of drug therapy within Chinese medical practice. You may want to go back to episode 1, entitled "What is a Drug?" for a background of our definition of a drug. In summary, this would incorporate any natural or derived chemical products used by the Chinese for medical or recreational purposes because of their effects on the body or mind. There appears to be some disagreement among Chinese scholars about the earliest reliable works on Chinese herbal medicine. All the sources do, however, agree about a date of around 200 to 230 BC. According to one source, the divine Famous Materia Medica, otherwise known as Shenong Benkao, first compiled around 206 BC, is considered to be the earliest Chinese pharmacopoeia, with over 360 herbs that a farmer called Shenong had classified into three groups some 400 years before. The first group are food herbs that are eaten for health maintenance, longevity, and illness prevention. The other two groups are called medicinal herbs that are dispensed to each patient as an individual formula based on one's unique constitution, environment, and medical condition. On the other hand, another source indicates that the earliest known book about Chinese medicine is the Yellow Emperor's Inner Classic, to which reference was made earlier. It was compiled before 200 BC. It's a summary of medical ideas and techniques that were in use long before the 2nd century BC. Today, Chinese medicine has expanded far beyond the Inner Classic. Countless variations and innovations have appeared, but some principles are unchanging. These root principles, such as yin and yang, describe natural laws, the laws your body must ultimately obey. The Yellow Emperor's Inner Classic, also known as Plain Questions and the Canon of Acupuncture, is a book that summarizes and systemizes the previous millennia of herbal experience and deals with the anatomy and physiology of the human body. This, according to one source, lays the foundation for TCM. A third source makes reference to a collection simply entitled The Herbal. According to this source, The Herbal is the earliest classic on herbs. This Materia Medica was handed down from the Qin and Han dynasties, which were between 221 BC and 220 AD. It is the summary of pharmaceutical knowledge known before the Han. It discusses 365 kinds of drugs and offers the pharmacological theory of Jun, Shen, Zhuo, and Shi, who were a monarch, a minister, an assistant, and a guide, indicating the actions of drugs in a prescription. Following this, there appear to be more well-known and less controversial works of herbal therapy. During the Han Dynasty, between 202 BC and 220 AD, Zhang Jing, the Hippocrates of China, who was a mayor of Changsha toward the end of the 2nd century AD, wrote a treatise on cold damage. Another prominent Eastern Han physician was Huo Tuo, who lived between 140 and 208 AD. He anesthetized patients during surgery with a formula of wine and powdered hemp. Huo's physical, surgical, and herbal treatments were also used to cure headaches, dizziness, internal worms, fevers, coughing, blocked throat, and even a diagnosis for one lady that she had a dead fetus within her that needed to be taken out. The Jin Dynasty practitioner and advocate of acupuncture and moxibustion, Huang Fu Mi, who lived between 215 and 282 AD, is said to have also quoted the Yellow Emperor in his Jia Zhi Jing around the year 265 AD. During the Tang Dynasty, Wang Bing claimed to have located a copy of the originals of the Yellow Emperor's classic, which he expanded and edited substantially. This work was revisited by an imperial commission during the 11th century AD. There were notable advances in Chinese medicine during the Middle Ages. Emperor Gaozong, between the years 649 and 683, of the Tang Dynasty, which was between 618 and 907, commissioned the scholarly compilation of a Materia Medica in the year 657 AD that documented 833 medical substances taken from stones, minerals, metals, plants, herbs, animals, vegetables, fruits, and cereal crops. However, perhaps the most well-known publication on traditional Chinese medicine is the Compendium of Materia Medica, first draft of which was completed in the year 1578. The UNESCO website refers to this and describes it this way. The Compendium of Materia Medica is the most complete and comprehensive medical book ever written on the history of traditional Chinese medicine. It was compiled and written by Li Shizhen, who lived between 1518 and 1593 AD. He was a medical expert of the Ming Dynasty, which lasted from 1368 to 1644 AD. The compilation was done over a period of 27 years. The first draft was completed in 1578 when Ming China was at its imperial heyday. This compendium lists, analyzes, and describes all the plants, animals, minerals, and other objects that we believe to have medicinal properties. The compendium, in effect, epitomizes the pharmaceutical achievements and developments of East Asia before the 16th century. Based on his predecessor's achievements in the pharmacological studies, Li contributed further by supplementing and rectifying many past mistakes and misconceptions as regards the nature of many medicinal substances and causes of various illnesses. It is said that Li Shizhen read around 800 other medical reference books before publishing the Compendium of Materia Medica, which not only improved the classification of how traditional medicine was compiled and formatted, but also proved a great medium in improving the credibility and scientific values of biology, classification of both plants and animals. The compendium corrected many mistakes and false understandings of the nature of herbs and illness. Li also included many new herbs, added his own discovery in certain drugs, their effectiveness and function, as well as more detailed descriptions according to experiments. It also has notes and records on general medical data and medical history. The compendium of Materia Medica is also more than a pharmaceutical text, for it contains information so vast that it covered topics in biology, chemistry, geography, mineralogy, geology, history, and even mining and astronomy, which it seemed to have little to do with herbal medicine. It has been translated into more than 20 languages and spread all over the world. Even now, it is still in print and used as a reference. Sadly, the compendium also contains some incorrect information. For example, it claims that lead is not toxic. Over several millennia, many Chinese physicians have made new discoveries, theories, and classifications, often writing or compiling books that have become classics of Chinese medical literature and are still referenced today. New entries are continuously being added, and the current edition of the Materia Medica contains over 10,000 herbs. Of course, a discussion of drugs and China would be incomplete without reference to the Opium Wars between the Qing Dynasty in China and the Western powers of Britain and France in the mid-19th century. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, the First Opium War between 1839 and 42 was fought between China and Britain, and the Second Opium War between 1856 and 60, also known as the Arrow War or the Anglo-French War in China, was fought by Britain and France against China. In each case, the foreign powers were victorious and gained commercial privileges and legal and territorial concessions in China. The conflicts marked the start of the era of unequal treaties and other inroads on Qing sovereignty that helped weaken and ultimately topple the dynasty in favor of the Republican China in the early 20th century. As to the cause of the conflicts, the Encyclopedia Britannica states that the Opium Wars arose from China's attempts to suppress the opium trade. Foreign traders, primarily British, had been illegally exporting opium, mainly from India to China, since the 18th century. But that trade grew dramatically from about 1820. The resulting widespread addiction in China was causing serious social and economic disruption there. Listeners are encouraged to visit history sources for further information. We also need to mention another common drug, alcohol, in the context of Chinese culture. We've already mentioned how it was used as part of a local anesthetic in surgery. It appears that alcohol has always been a traditional part of Chinese life. However, over the past few decades, there has been a striking increase in alcohol consumption and related problems. With respect to modern society and drug therapy, China enjoys a mix of conventional medicine and traditional Chinese medicine, the latter of which provides a useful gap in areas where affordability and access remain problematic or where preferences and beliefs favor traditional approaches. And this ends our discussion on drugs and ancient China. See you next time, when we shall be looking again at drugs and a different people group.